Good morning. We're going to have I think it's the first week, morning service, family service for the year. We're going to have a little bit of a look through some scriptures. We're going to start off by reading a portion in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. It starts off, of course, in the beginning, God. We're not going to read the whole of chapter 1. It's portions. So in the beginning, God. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Moving on, and God said, let there be a firmament. Verse 6, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters. God made the firmament. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. God called the dry land earth. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs, and fruit. And God said, let the lights of the firmament of the heaven be divided into day and night. And that happened. And God made two great lights. And that happened. One to rule the night and one to rule the day. And then God said in verse 20, let the waters bring forth abundantly. And God created in verse 21, great whale. And every living creature that moved. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. That is the animals. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing. And on the sixth day, God said, let us make man. What do we notice about those things? Everything was created and made and set in its place before he made man. All was prepared and made ready before he made man. And then he made man and gave him dominion and them dominion over all of those things. All was prepared beforehand. Now today, you know, people will say that we're running out of water. You know, there is the exact amount of water that God made on this earth back then as is here now. Can't go anywhere. You can't get off this earth unless you go in a spaceship 25,000 miles an hour, go through gravity and out into space. Still here. Every last drop. Everything that God created in the beginning, still here. Hasn't diminished. Because they've regenerated themselves because he gave them that to do, each after their own kind. Still here. Still here. The provision of God from the beginning for man. Still here. He doesn't provide for us afresh. Doesn't need to. Provision was made then. God doesn't play catch up. He doesn't need to. He did it all once for all. You see, we can't do that. We can't fathom that. But that's what happened. It's amazing, isn't it? We're going to have a look at a few scriptures and we're going to see God's provision. And not only did he just provide for man, but for beast. Genesis 22 and verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. Now we know the story, we've had a bit of it this morning, haven't we? On Mount Moriah, which is in Jerusalem, in the old city, where today you will see the Dome of the Rock. All of that is Mount Moriah, across that Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives to the east. But that's Mount Moriah, all of that, where old Jerusalem is. That's where that took place. And there was that ram to be a substitute for Abraham's son. Provision. Just then? Did that just happen then? Did the Lord have mercy on Abraham just then? No. This was all put beforehand in place. God's not playing catch-up here wondering what Abraham would do. He knew what Abraham would do. All put in place. Provision. The right time. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. In fact, what it really means is the Lord has provided. He is the provider. Abraham knew something. Move on to Genesis 30. And God remembered Rachel. Genesis 30 and verse 23. And she conceived and bare a son. Verse 24. And she called his name Joseph. Move up to Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. We know the story in between, how his brothers wanted him killed. They threw him in a pit. He was taken out and sold into captivity. Ended up in Egypt. Exodus 1, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Exodus 1:8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And if you remember that story, how Joseph became a great ruler, second only to Pharaoh, and only then in the throne, he was in charge of the whole of Egypt. And his brethren came down, and they were given the land of Goshen, a beautiful, fertile plain in Egypt, the Nile Delta today. They were given that. And they were given that such a vast expanse of land because they were more than the Egyptians, says it in Scripture. They were a greater number than the nation of Egypt, which was the greatest number, the greatest nation in the world. They were more. And that's why when the Pharaoh that loved Joseph passed, another one came along and he didn't love Joseph quite so much. Well, he wouldn't have. He certainly didn't love the people. They were placed into captivity. The new king. Exodus 2, and God heard their groaning. They weren't happy, the nation. They had liberty in that land of Goshen. And all of a sudden they've been put under bondage. So they cried to the Lord. And he heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Exodus 3:9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Who comes on the scene? Who does the Lord provide? Moses. You know the story there. You'd think it's impossible. They wanted to kill all of the young men. Pharaoh. Moses escapes. And he is the provision for that nation. They're a nation. They're a people. They're a huge amount. Exodus 3. Come thou therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. That thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Exodus 3:21. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. They didn't rob from the Egyptians. The Egyptians gave them all the gold and silver and precious stones that they had. Willingly. God's provision. And it wasn't for them to get rich. It wasn't for them to say, I have more than you. It was for a purpose. But that's what was given to them. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbour, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels and silver, gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. I might suggest that the Egyptians were already spoiled, but that was a final nail in the coffin or kick in the teeth. Lord's provision. Exodus 12:12, for I will pass through, the Lord said. More of the Lord's provision. What was he providing? Judgment to those unbelievers there. Exodus 12:13, I will pass over. What was he providing there? Well, he was providing salvation to the believers. Always God's provision. Always God's provision. To those he provides what they deserve, and to those he provides what they don't deserve. But it is at his hand. And then you know the story. They came out of the land of Egypt, from that land of Goshen or Ramses, after that great Pharaoh that was down the track a little bit. They came out of there. And they were going to the mountain of God. And we know the story. And where they went was in the direction that the scriptures say they went. Moses knew the land very well. He lived there for 40 years. He travelled there. He married there. He came back. Yet he didn't lead them. God led them in the pillar by night and by day. And he didn't take them the way Moses would have gone, you see, because there was more provision coming. The Sea of Aqaba, the right-hand side of the Red Sea from the Persian Gulf. He took them up and away, right up to a place that is called Eilat today, at the bottom of Israel. And then he took them down that side of the sea. And Pharaoh says, and it's in the word, they're lost. We'll surely catch them now. They don't know where they're going. And guess what? They didn't. But God did. And he provided an escape for them. There they stood with nowhere to go. They couldn't go to the right or the left. They couldn't go back because Pharaoh was behind them. So confident was he that he camped that night, rested his troops. They'll be there in the morning, for they can't go anywhere. Of course, what a shock he got when the Lord provided again and they went across into Arabia. And when they got there, what happened? Well, they had no food and no water. They didn't need much. They were only going 3 days out of Egypt. That's all they asked Pharaoh. Let my people go. 3 days we'll be gone so we can worship our God. Well, Pharaoh wouldn't have been worried. He was taken up with all sorts of things. All the pestilence, all the plagues, God's provision. The death of his son, may I suggest Tutankhamun, dead, firstborn. The Lord's provided. They had things to sort out. They're only going to be gone 3 days. After 4 or 5 days, well, they're not coming back. They probably took enough water. People say that there was a few of them. More than a few. I did the maths on an Excel spreadsheet. About 1.8 million of them. Some of the things you've got to assume, but in Numbers 1:17 it tells us that there were 603,460 men that were numbered. Got to believe that. In Exodus 12, it says that there was about 600,000 men. Same amount of women, maybe. Half the amount of children. 20% above 60. Then you have the Levites, which were different, and a mixed multitude that came out with them. They weren't Hebrews. They were a mixed multitude. They would have been like us. They came out with them. Say 10%, and 10% livestock. 1.8 million people. Nearly 200,000 livestock. And the Lord provided for them. They had nothing to drink. And he provided them water. At 3 litres a person, that's a huge amount of water. At 10 litres for a cow or a beastie, it's a lot of water. 7,365 cubic metres of water a day. That's what they needed. That's about three or four times where we've had the swimming down here at Challenge Stadium. Each day. Each day. They were in the wilderness 40 years. Can you imagine it? Then he fed them. The manna, of course, was like little seeds that they made bread from, but it came down. If they had 2.2 kilos, which was an omer, which the scriptures say they had, per day, per person, that's 4 million kilos a day. That's not bad. And then there was quails. 1,841,336. That's if each person had one. That's how many they needed. It's a lot, isn't it? Because there was 1.8 million people. So there was 1.8 million quails. This wasn't a little flock that came across and they got. You can imagine. The Lord's provision. The Lord's provision. If you multiply that by 14,400, you can see how much food and water the Lord had to provide for these people over the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And he wasn't playing catch-up. He never played catch-up. He knew where they were going to be. He knew that the provisions were there. They didn't. They didn't. They got quite concerned. They grumbled and carried on. The Lord didn't worry. The Lord provided. The tense is past. He wasn't providing as they needed it right there and then. It was all done beforehand in the graciousness of God. He knew. He knew. He doesn't provide because we ask. Have a look around. How many people are asking the Lord for provision? It's there. It was always there. He provides. He's proved it before. He proves it every day to us. Our brother said about the New Year's resolution, if we were a Christian country, then the three things on the top of that list would be different to what they are. But God never changes. In the wilderness, that manna came new every morning. You couldn't collect it except on the Sabbath. And then it kept overnight and was there for the next day because they can't cook on the Sabbath day. So there was the provision of the Lord. They tried the Lord, of course, and they tried to keep that which was fresh one morning for the next, and it was full of worms and it stank. They didn't do that again. Because it was going to be new every morning. It says in the scriptures that the Lord changes not. For us, may I suggest, he should be new every morning. Not yesterday's God, but new every morning. Not what he did for us yesterday, but what we're looking forward to today. New every morning. Not asking for provision, because the provision's there. You know, sometimes I think when we pray and we ask the Lord for something, maybe we should pray a little bit differently. And then say, well, Father, thank you for your provision, because it's there. Then look around, open our eyes, see what he's provided, live in the good of it, and then give thanks again. And you know, we really haven't asked for anything. Because it's already there. He's already provided. Too often we ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, and like the 10 lepers, one came back. And sometimes we don't. Father, thank you for the provision. Live in the good of it. It's there. And give thanks again. We're giving thanks twice and we haven't asked for anything. Because he knows. And sometimes we'll all come to a prayer meeting, we'll all pray the same thing. Is that to get his attention? He knows. Give thanks. Look around. Open our eyes. Live in the good of what he's provided. No matter where we are. And if he doesn't provide, well, maybe it's what we want and not what we need. So live in the good of that and give thanks. Because from the beginning, both physical and spiritual needs have been met. Spiritual needs have been met. Of course they have. Ultimately, I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the one who, as it says there, provided himself a lamb. Well, that provider himself provided himself. Indeed, the greatest provider that we could have. Not only was there everything that we see in this world made by him, kept by him, he provided himself to meet our spiritual needs as well as our physical. And we didn't have to ask him for that. That was provided. We just need to open our eyes and give thanks. Take hold and then give thanks. Because it's done. But so often, we live in the past. We don't see his provision manifest before us. We don't, simply don't. Because we're looking for something else. Go out every morning and there's still not a Maserati in the driveway. I'd set her for a Porsche, Lord. It sounds strange, but some people are like that. Lord, why? He's got one next door, I haven't. All of our provisions have been met. It was said once that if we gave Paul three wishes, what would he wish for? Nothing. Because he's content in what he has. It's true, isn't it? In this new year, are we content in what we have? Let me state this. If you have not got the Lord Jesus Christ, are you content with a lost eternity hell? Because that's what you've got. That's what you've got. And you might say, well, I'll live in the good of that. I'm very happy for you. You'll spend an eternity in the darkness, and there'll be gnashing of teeth, and there'll be no light, and there'll be no nothing, and you'll be away from God eternally. I don't think anybody being one nanosecond in hell will say that that's what they want, but they'll have it for eternity. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been provided for us as a lamb, died on a cross. We've gathered around this table this morning, we've supped, remembered him as he said for us to do. The table speaks of his provision. And he provides equally for those that love him and those that don't. The difference simply is that those that do live in the good of him and give thanks. And that's what I hope we do this year. As our brother said, you know, the New Year's resolutions, not everybody makes them, but those that do. And they're worldly things, they're earthly things for the main. But the last three that he mentioned, you remember them? You sure? If you can read the scriptures more. That you can worship, maybe not more, but better. More meaningful worship. And I suggest that we would, maybe if the Lord tarries, we come to the end of the year again and somebody's standing up here next year at the same time. We would have had a better year. We might not have made more money. We might not have got the things that our hearts desired from a worldly perspective. But I would say that we would be more content and that we would have grown in the knowledge and the admonition of the Lord. We would have had more peace and joy. And with those things, we would have been more thankful. As we look at our word, maybe I can encourage you, as you look, whatever portion that you're looking at, to see the provision of the Lord in it. It's full of it. And it's all past. He did it before so that we could appreciate it and live in the good of it now. Our God is a God of eternity, not of catch-up. Not of catch-up. Maybe that'll give you a new perspective of Him and His love for us. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you again for this morning. We thank you that we can come and gather and to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather here because of what He has done for us, of His provision before the foundation of the world. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provided Himself that we might be able to be set free, and set free indeed. The one who has provided all of our needs in this world, everything that we can imagine, He has provided. And not only that, He has provided things that we can't imagine. Things that we don't even know about. Things that with all our medical science we have not yet fathomed, He has provided them all. May we be a thankful people, therefore, not so much asking, but giving thanks in anticipation. And we commit ourselves to you now as we part, that we look forward to be able to come and gather together again, to have fellowship one with another, to have fellowship in the midst of the Lord. So we just thank you now. Praise your name. Amen.